Let's continue reading Psalm 137. Now, this is one of the later psalms and could be entitled the Song of the Exiles. Here, the psalmist looks back on the time of the Babylonian captivity, the 70 years that the Jewish people were captives in Babylon. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, you are to be destroyed. Happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. Let's begin our study of this psalm, Psalm 137, with some background notes. We can see from verse 1, that this psalm was written after the return of the Jewish captives from their 70-year exile in Babylon, because the psalmist speaks of the captivity in the past tense. How much later, we can't say for sure, but probably soon after the return and before the temple was rebuilt. The Jews returned from Babylon in 538 BC, and the rebuilt temple was completed in 516 BC. So probably during these early post-exilic years of their return, this psalm was written. So it is one of the later psalms. In Psalm 137, the psalmist voices the mourning of the people as they look back and remember the days of captivity in Babylon. The rivers of Babylon here in verse 1. Would be the Euphrates River and its tributaries, including the numerous canals of Babylon. Remember, Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, lived in a community of captives along the Kibar River or canal. We know from Jeremiah chapter 29, which contains a letter that Jeremiah sent to the captives in Babylon, that the people were to try and live as normal a life as possible in the land of their captivity. But we see from this psalm that the captives could not be happy when they remembered their former days in Zion, another name for Jerusalem. They had heavy hearts, and therefore they hung up their harps on the trees by the riverbank where they gathered to remember their roots. Verse 2, we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. And when the Babylonians asked them to sing one of the songs of Zion, it was like torture. Verse 3, for there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. You know, Israeli music is upbeat for the most part. How could the captives sing these kinds of songs as captives in a foreign land? Verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Psalm 137. Doctrinal point number one, prayers for Jerusalem are still valid today. Prayers for Jerusalem are still valid today. Verses 5 and 6, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. In other words, if we forget our homeland and the city of our God, may we never play another note or sing another song. You know, to this day, in various places around the city of Jerusalem, you will see or hear verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 137. Question. For Christians, are prayers for Jerusalem still valid today? Answer, yes, of course. In Psalm 122, verse 6, we read, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Now, in the context, of course, Psalm 122 was written to Israel at the time of David. But in the light of the New Testament, this command and exhortation can certainly be extended to Christians today for two reasons. Number one, the Abrahamic covenant with God's promise to the Jewish people is still valid today. Read Romans 11 in this connection. Romans 11 clearly shows that the Abrahamic covenant with Abraham and his descendants has never been erased. And that unconditional covenant with the Jewish people included the promise of the land where Jerusalem is still located. And number two, we know from the prophetic scriptures that when the Lord returns and establishes his earthly kingdom, his headquarters and throne will be literally set up in Jerusalem, and we will be part of that kingdom. So certainly prayers for Jerusalem are still valid today. And doctrinal or teaching point number two, prayers of imprecation are still valid today. Prayers of imprecation are still valid today. To imprecate means to curse. Verses 7 through 9. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed, happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Have you ever wanted to pray a prayer like that? Hopefully not, right? But what about this? Because of this prayer in verses 7 through 9, Psalm 137 is known as one of the imprecatory psalms. We mentioned that to imprecate means to curse. There are 10 imprecatory psalms in the book of Psalms. And Psalm 137 is the most well-known of these imprecatory psalms. Now, how do we harmonize the imprecatory psalms with our Lord's statements in the Sermon on the Mount, such as Matthew 5:44, where the Lord says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Matthew 5:44. So how do you harmonize the imprecatory psalms with statements like our Lord makes in the Sermon on the Mount? One way that Christians have explained the imprecatory psalms in the Bible is to say that the psalmist was wrong. But remember, this was written in Old Testament times when the author did not have the full light of the New Testament. So we can forgive the psalmist for writing these imprecatory psalms. Now, I don't think that this is the right explanation of the imprecatory psalms, because we're speaking here of the inspired writer who is intending to make a moral point, and God's moral laws never change. Properly understood, prayers of imprecation are still valid today. Keep in mind that the imprecatory psalms are not desires for personal revenge, but rather prayers that the righteous standards of God be maintained. God had declared in his law that for social justice to be maintained, there would be an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life, which is still a standard for social justice today. When Babylon had conquered Judah and destroyed Jerusalem, they had literally ripped open pregnant women and killed children by dashing them against the rocks. And Isaiah had predicted that the Babylonians would suffer the same treatment as judgment. I'm reading Isaiah chapter 13, beginning with verse 15. Everyone who is found will be thrust through, and everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their children also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. From Isaiah chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. So Isaiah had actually predicted that this judgment would come upon the Babylonians, this judgment that David in the imprecatory Psalms had predicted as well. So you see, the imprecatory Psalms are not prayers for personal revenge, but calls for God's judgment on the enemies of God and his people. Therefore, imprecation is not foreign to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, that if anyone preached a different gospel than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Or to say it in contemporary language, let him be damned. That is imprecation. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be damned. Let him be accursed. And in the book of Revelation, there is a lot of imprecatory praying on the part of God's people. So imprecation is not foreign to the New Testament. When we pray, Lord, may the wicked see the error of their ways and come to you. But if not, may their efforts to stop the gospel from being proclaimed be overturned. And may they not prosper in their sexual perversions and attempts to do away with your moral standards. May they reap what they have sown. May their false doctrine and rebellion be stopped, even if it means they must die. May your righteousness and holiness and glory be upheld forever by their eternal punishment in hell. Amen. That's imprecatory praying, and it is certainly biblical. Prayers of imprecation are still valid today. Now, what about practical application from Psalm 137? Don't cheer for the wrong side. Don't cheer for the wrong side. Verse 7. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, to its very foundation. The Edomites were relatives, remember, of the Jewish people. The Edomites were descendants of Esau, the older brother of Jacob. But the Edomites did not come to Judah's aid when Judah was attacked by the Babylonians. But instead, they stood on the sidelines, as it were, and cheered for the Babylonians. In reference to Jerusalem, they cried, raise it, that is, burn it and destroy it. Edom cheered for the wrong side, and they would reap what they had sown. Let's be careful that we don't cheer for the wrong side. You know, it's easy to get caught up in some movement or give money to some cause which has an unbiblical worldview. As a result, you become a pawn of Satan, whether you realize it or not. Illustration. I know of a Christian man who gave thousands of dollars to the building program of his college alma mater. This secular university is humanistic to its core and openly tears down the Bible and the Christian faith in the classroom. This man is caught in Satan's trap and is cheering for the wrong side, and he doesn't even realize it. Don't cheer for the wrong side.